Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we have set aside week after week to come and explore the Word of God together. And I thank God for this opportunity, for allowing us to come together one more time. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to come unto the people of God to explore the Word of God together. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule week after week as we listen to what the Spirit of God has to say to us. Tonight, our lesson is coming from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And the title of the lesson is, Jesus had to die so that we could live eternally. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And after that, we're going to go to God's throne of grace.
What did he do? Just listen to this. Here he was, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And although he was standing there being tempted by those around him, because one of the thieves looked over at him and said, look here, if you Jesus, the Son of God, why don't you get out off this cross and save yourself and save me along with you. And the other thief looked over at him and said, well, I don't really know whether you are or not. But I tell you what, in case you are, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. And then Jesus didn't have to die. If he had wanted to, he could have called 10,000 angels to come stand by his side. But he looked at him and told him this. He said, you're not taking my life. But I'm going to lay it down for you. And he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down. He would not.
To God.
Hallelujah. That song is the essence of all that God has done for us. Jesus was on the cross, and as the song say, he didn't have to die. And we know the nails didn't keep him there. And he let them know, y'all not taking my life, but I surrender my life for mankind. Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, that all of us would have a chance to live eternally. Thank God for his master plan. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient to your Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling inside of us. And that's why we can have the victory through Christ Jesus. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. And I feel mighty good tonight. Many of you know maybe 7 years ago on Wednesday night, my grandson, who was maybe 8, 9 years old at the time, almost every Wednesday he would pray. Well, my grandson is with me tonight, and I asked him if he would pray for us tonight, and he agreed. Wholeheartedly, he agreed. And he's with me right now, and I'm going to allow him to bring us to the throne of grace. And then we'll expound on the word of God. For those who may remember, his name is Madison Andrew Chambers. And that was then. And Madison is 16 years old. In June of this year, he'll be 17. And he's graduating from high school on next month at the age of 16. He won't have to do the 12th grade. And I'm so blessed and elated. I thank God. Because you see, it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to turn it over to Madison. And we're going to go to the throne of grace.
Good evening, everybody. Let's start with prayer. God, thanks for allowing all of us to be here at one spot and thank you and learn about you and just get close to you, because we have a lot of things going on right now. Not a lot of people are able to do what they want. They're out here hustling because they have to survive. People not having all types of cash flow. Some people don't have a lot of food. Some people don't have jobs. But thanks to you, we all are making it through, and different things is happening for us and allowing us to live, God. Thank you, God. And please just keep blessing us through tough times, because through you, we can just live our life. All the other people who's not worrying about you, they're struggling right now. But thanks to you, we're able to live good lives and have a free mind, because we know that you got us. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. Thank you so much. There's a lady that called right before I got on the line. She was calling the prayer line number. And I gave her the number to come on the program. So, caller, your number is 504-351-90. I'm not going to say the last two numbers, but I have opened your mic, and you can speak and ask for the prayers that you desire.
Yes, my name is Anika, and I just want prayer for salvation.
So at this time, you're not saved, darling?
I really don't know. I've been praying for salvation for myself, but I'm not really sure.
Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I have.
You accepted him because you knew you was a sinner and needed to be saved?
Yes.
Did you accept him with your whole heart?
Yes, I have.
So I just want to give you the assurance that once you accept Christ with your whole heart, accept him as your Lord, your Savior, and your Master. Believe that he has the power to save you. You are saved, and salvation comes through your belief and your faith, which grants you grace, which is a free gift that God gives us for salvation. I want you to know tonight, my sister, that is a trick of the devil. The devil always wants you to believe that you're not good enough or you're not doing things right enough. But God didn't tell us we had to be right to be saved. Because while we were yet in our sin, God sent his son Jesus who took us in. God didn't ask us to get right to be saved. He said, accept my son and I'm going to work in and through you. And I'm going to guarantee your salvation. My sister, I want you to know that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost came and lived inside of you. And the Holy Ghost sealed your soul, which is going to go to God. And he sealed it until the day of redemption. That seal that you were sealed with cannot be broken by nothing. God said nothing can separate you from him. No heights, no depths, no things present, but things to come. Nothing could separate you from the love of God. So my sister, I have your number, and I'm going to stay in contact with you. But what you're doing tonight is the greatest thing you can do. You're coming in to hear the word of God. You see, and your faith will grow because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And all I can tell you, sister, is be encouraged because you belong to God. You're his child. When you confess with your mouth that you knew you was a sinner, that you could no way possibly save yourself, that you believe that Jesus is a Savior and can save, you receive the gift of salvation. So you asking for us to pray for you to have the gift. You already have it, my sister. You already have it. You see, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that includes you. Everyone who accepts the Son, the requirement is accept the Son of God while the blood is running warm in your veins, because once the blood is cool in your veins, you don't have the power to accept. So because you have accepted his Son, you became his child, and you received the gift of salvation. And like I said, I'll talk to you more and more if it's all right with you, because I have your number, and I'll call you at different times, and we can talk if you would like to. So would you me to do that?
Yes.
Thank you. And stay on the line, because some of the lesson tonight, God tailor-made it for you. So hold on. And we're going to go into the Bible study. If you have a Bible and you go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter is where we're going to start. And you could see the writing in the Bible. You could see it for yourself and don't have to just believe what I say. But I will be getting in touch with you, my sister. And I thank God for allowing you to call. And we're going to definitely pray for you and with you. Minister Elyria Mack, are you on the line? Minister Mackey?
Yes, I am.
Can you give a prayer to the young lady? And we're going to keep in touch with her, and we're going to give her some understanding of what it's all about. So can you just pray for her at this time?
Yes, I can. God, you said in your word in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God. And God, we stand on your word and your promises because your word is yea, and in Jesus it is amen, to the glory of God. God, we come because your word in Isaiah 65 says, wow, before we even call you, O God, before we call, get an answer, and while we are yet speaking, you're hearing us. And God, I thank you for my sister, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, that she would increase on the inside, oh God, knowing that these outer vessels do perish, Lord God. But you said in your word, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God, we thank you for your word because it is life, oh God. Oh God, you said the spirit kill it, but the letter kill it, but the spirit give life. And God, we thank you for speaking life over her this season, oh God. We thank you for endowing her, Lord God. And God, we give you praise and honor and glory because you alone is worthy of the honor. You alone is worthy of the glory. And you alone is worthy of our praise. And God, you said in Romans, oh God, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, oh God. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because you add to the kingdom daily such as to be saved. And God, we ask that you would touch and let her anointing flow, Lord God, from the top of her head down to the very soles of her feet. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Minister Mackey. My sister, the caller that asked for prayer, what is your name?
My name is Onika Drew.
What's your first name?
Onika.
All right, Onika. Because when I like to go to God, when I go to God for someone, I like to call your name out to God. So I have that, and I'm going to be talking with you. And we all going to be praying for you, and we going to keep going and growing. You see what we have to do? We have to grow in the grace that God has extended to you. And to do that growing, you have to receive knowledge of God so you could truly know who you are in Christ Jesus. So you could boldly say that you know that you are saved and you will have eternal life. You'll know that nothing can block it, nothing can stop it, that you belong to God. And when Jesus comes back for his church, because we are the church, you're going to go with him in to the presence of God. And you're going to be in that number. And God's going to tell Jesus, I brought her. Sister Drew is with me. Jesus is going to tell God, I have her. I didn't lose anybody that you gave me. And you're going to be in that number, my sister. You be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we have a program that's already, you know, set up, but God does what he wants, y'all. God does what he wants. And the purpose of all of this is to get someone that's not saved, saved. And get someone who's confused in their salvation to have the blessing assurance and a confidence. And to build each other up. And I would like to ask this question to right now. Is there anyone else on the line that's not saved? Are there or if there's anyone who is unsure about their salvation, you could press the one button on your phone. Glory, hallelujah, Sunday. Glory be to God. No one pressed, so everybody on the line is confessing that they are saved and they're not confused about their salvation. And the Holy Spirit is just so awesome because the lesson tonight is confirmation and confirming the questions that she asked. God allowed Romans 8 to be written so we could build up our confidence and have our blessing assurance who we really belong to. And tonight, the title of our lesson, my sister, Sister Drew, you could realize that Jesus had to die so that we could live eternally. Salvation. Jesus died to give that to you. And you received that gift when you accepted him as your Savior. We coming from the book of Romans. I'm going to be in the first chapter, and I'm going to read some of the verses. So I do a little background all of the time. And it's just tailor-made tonight, y'all. You see, Jesus had to die to go back to his Father. Why? To prepare a place for us. You see, John 14:1 said, let not your heart be troubled, my sister. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said he had to die, and then he had to go, and he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. John 14:1-3. And then you see Jesus is preparing a place for us, y'all. And see, the reason why we study the Bible and want to grow in grace and receive knowledge about God is because we're being prepared. You see, this is not our home. We're being prepared for our home, our heavenly home. And here is the preparation ground. That's why we're being sanctified and redeemed and we're growing. We're being prepared for our eternal resting place. Thank you, Jesus. You see, because Jesus is coming back for his church. And we all know that we are the church, the body of Christ. You see, because in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. The body of Christ is all the believers knitted together. And 13 said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And the 14th verse says, for the body is not one member, but the body of Christ is many, all the believers. And even you, my sister Drew, you belong to the body of Christ. You are now part of the household of faith. When you accepted Christ, you became an heir and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. And you are saved. And you have the free gift of salvation. For the body is not one member, but many. The Holy Spirit is preparing us for our eternal life, waiting for Jesus' return. You see, they say heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We are now here on earth. We on earth, and we in the earth, but we not of the earth. We live here on earth in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's not a place. It's a rim. It's a moral rim. It's the moral thoughts and moral ideas and loving and being kind to one another and helping and sharing and caring the body of Christ. You see, once Adam sinned, we all were placed on death row. For the wages of sin is death. A human sacrifice that was sinless, without spots and blemishes, had to be made for mankind. So God allowed himself to be wrapped in flesh, the incarnated Jesus Christ. You see, God was manifest in the flesh and sacrificed himself on the cross for us. You see, John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Come on, y'all. And the Word was with God, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was with his Father before he came to earth. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Father and the Son are one. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. You see, many times they'll tell you, we know that God is the creator, but God made all things by the Word, which is his Son. So everything that was made through, by and through Jesus Christ by the Father. And the scripture is telling us that. You see, my sister, once we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the verdict, not guilty, and we become free from sin. You see, it is clear that the believer's pursuit of God doesn't stop at salvation, and that's for all of us. That is why each one of us that is saved can sometime or another ask themselves the question, I'm saved, now what? You see, our salvation continues as each of us is sanctified. We being made holy because our God is holy as we pursue and following him. But I want to tell you, my sister, there's nothing you could do to get more saved. You are saved. You see, because all of this is all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. That's why these weapons that's forming against us. And Satan, I say, I rebuke you in the mind. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That you don't put those thoughts in our head. The weapon that's formed against us will not prosper. And I want you to tell, I want to say that it was nothing that we could do. And if we could, some of us wouldn't. Because there are many who haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. But it was nothing that we could do. So I want to tell you in this introduction that I just did tonight, that Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. And now we're going into the lesson. Minister Mackey said this in her prayer. See, we was on one accord. You see, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I have to stop there a little bit, and because I want you to truly understand what the scripture is saying. You see, to truly understand this scripture, we must examine what the word condemned means. So I went to Webster Dictionary, and it says when you sentence to a particular punishment, you see, when sent into the world, sin, the punishment of sin was death. They say especially death officially declared, especially death, condemnation of being condemned is saying that it's unfit for use. It also is an unfavorable and adverse judgment. It indicates strong disapproval of. You know how it is when somebody condemn you? They say you don't have no value. You'll never be nothing. Condemn is senseless to pronounce guilty. You know, we condemn one another many times. And one of the worst things is when we condemn ourselves. God said in his word by the author of the book of Romans, Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation. I then went to the Bible dictionary because that was, you know, Webster, the World Dictionary. And the Bible dictionary, it reads, an act of pronouncing someone guilty after weighing the evidence. You see, the Bible says they condemn after pronouncing someone guilty, but before you do it, you got to weigh the evidence. And you see, we all were found guilty and received the penalty of sin debt. And we would live eternally in hell. You see, we are on death row. We were on death row, thank God for Jesus, and had no winning defense for ourselves. And as I told a young lady earlier, we needed a savior. And all we had to do was accept Jesus as our Savior. You see, people say you got to confess your sin. But you see, when you say you need a Savior, then already confess. Because if you wasn't a sinner, why you needed a Savior? Hallelujah. And you got to believe that he is who he say he is and has the power to do what he say he can do. And you are saved. You see, there was nothing we could do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. Oh, but God, look at the situation, which was not, God looked at the situation was not how he planned it. So he made a way out of no way for us. And how did he do it? You see, if we go to the book of John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that so whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God sent his only begotten son. Hallelujah. How many of you will give up your children to save somebody else? But God, in his love for us, he gave up his only begotten son to die so that we may live eternally. You see, Jesus Christ offers, God sent his son. He offered grace by faith in his son for our justification. You see, Jesus for the condemnation of sin. Jesus, that's why we're no longer condemned. That's why there's no more condemnation. Because Jesus for the condemnation. What we was condemned. And Jesus came and took us in. And Jesus took all of the condemnation of all the sins that you had already committed. The ones you may have committed today. And those sins that you're going to commit in the future. And oh yeah, there will be more sins. We will not stop sinning until Jesus come and give us a glorified body. Take this old flesh suit off of us. Because, see, sin dwells in the flesh. And where there's no flesh, there can be no sin. Hallelujah, y'all. So, you see, Jesus, for the condemnation of sin, he took it. He paid the price. You see, and now we are justified by God. And then once we got justified by God, we receive redemption. You know, redemption means to make it right, to fix it. We receive redemption, which is salvation, because we had eternal life in damnation. And because of the redemption power, we have salvation. Because Christ's blood took away our sins once and for all. And where there is no sin, there is no condemnation. What a mighty God we serve, y'all. Am I giving you a license to sin? Many people don't believe the plan of salvation because they say that's too easy. God never planned for it to be hard. He said, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light. God only wants us to believe. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. He knew we couldn't be good enough to save ourselves. That's why he sent his son. And if any of us have been good enough, I come to tell you tonight that Jesus wouldn't have had to die. Because Christ's blood took away our sins once and for all. And where there's no sin, there's no condemnation. We are saved by grace, unearned, undeserved favor from God through faith and complete trust in Jesus Christ alone. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, you gotta, come on, y'all. You got to sow a seed to be saved. In the Old Testament, the Jews would tell others that came to Christ that they had to be circumcised. I come to tell you tonight it's Jesus Christ alone. Don't let nobody tell you you got to go and make an novena for 31 days straight for God to approve you. It's by Jesus Christ alone. And his finished work. We in the holy week in the time of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And you see, when we think about that, we should understand that Christ alone. That's why all of our glory and honor goes to him. That's why he won't share it with anyone else. Nobody could do what he did. And that's just the way God planned it. And we have to know he did it alone, and it was because of him and his finished work. You see, when we accept Christ, our verdict is not guilty. Hallelujah. You see, before you accept Christ, you was guilty. After you accept Christ, your verdict is not guilty. And it's like Jesus said, okay, I got them now. Let them go free. And what those words mean to us since we were once on that road. You see, only those who accept Christ can be found not guilty. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice, a sin offering for our sins. You see, Jesus died. Yes, he did. Jesus died and became the only sacrifice for mankind once and for all. You see, in the Old Testament, they used to take and and they would sacrifice bulls and goats and lambs and whatever. You see, man sinned. Once Adam sinned, sin came into the world. And like I said, that wasn't God's intention. But, oh, God decided to make a way out of no way, like I said earlier, and he would send his son. You see, the sin sacrifices of the old time couldn't take away the sins. It only covered it, and it only covered them temporal. That's why they had to keep sacrificing over and over and over, because it couldn't complete. The work of the sacrifice and the law couldn't complete our guilty verdict, and we would still be on death row. But because of God's love for his people, he wanted to be in fellowship. So he gave them a law to follow. And the law really wasn't to take away the sins. It was supposed to point to sin. That's what law do. When they tell us 70 miles an hour on the highway, to have something in place, because then people would be driving 100, 110. You understand? God put the laws back then in place to help them, to help themselves. Because without no law, there is. Come on, y'all. There is no guidance. We are found not guilty. And Jesus became the sacrifice. He took the place of the bulls and the goats. And you see, the only way that we could have remission for our sins and be redeemed, it had to be the shedding of blood. You see, they would shed the blood of the animals, and they would put the animal on the altar, and they would burn it, and the aroma from the animal would go into God's nostrils, and it pleased him with them for a period. But God said, I need something more substantial. And God told us way in Genesis 3:15 he was going to send a Savior. But you see, God's timing is not our timing. You see, and you say, why all of those years in the Old Testament? Why then in the new way to the New Testament? Because God knows what he's doing. God's timing is not our timing. God was trying to get things in order for man to live and accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. God was taking all of the guessing out the game. And here in 2021, there's still some who just don't have it, that just don't believe. And they're walking around without a Savior. And they have a stamp on their forehead, guilty. Guilty as charged. The fact that the whole human race was on death row, justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's holy law. Yes, it was all mankind after Adam's sin. Everybody, they say, would be born of a woman, would take on the nature of Adam, and would be guilty. You see, without Jesus, we have no hope at all. Because we could not or would not be able to do it on our own. But thanks be to God, he has declared us not guilty once we accept his son. And I just want to tell you tonight, God had a master plan. And I told you ever since, even in the beginning of the book of Genesis, it's so amazing that mankind fell by Genesis 3. And by Genesis 15, God made a promise, a prophecy, that he would send a son. He would send us a Savior. And we went all the way through the Old Testament. We dealt with the law and we dealt with the prophets. And we just kept on coming and coming. And we are here today. You see, the people in the Old Testament had to look forward to a Savior coming. Tonight, as we on this line, we look back to Calvary. And I want to tell you that when God got ready in a little town of Bethlehem on one holy night, he decided to send his son to be born of a virgin. Because, you see, Jesus had to have flesh on his body to be able to become a sacrifice for mankind. They needed a man. So God allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh. Come on, y'all. And incarnated into Jesus Christ. But on that day in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ was born. We don't know much after that until he was 12 years old. And then after that, he jumped on the scene. And he went to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John the Baptist baptized. And after Jesus was baptized, he was immediately brought by an angel to be tempted by Satan. And Jesus passed the temptation by the word of God. He told him man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Jesus started his earthly ministry. See, Jesus had a purpose given to him by God. Jesus chose men to work with him. Jesus knew his time was going to be short. And Jesus wanted them to continue to be ambassadors and do the things that he would do if he was still here. That's what he asked of us too, y'all. And Jesus taught. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. Hallelujah, y'all. A woman touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Lazarus was in the grave, and he just called his name, and Lazarus, all wrapped up and bound, came out by the call of Jesus. Jesus. He fed 5,000 with a few fish and a little few loaves of bread. The 5,000 didn't include women and children. Hallelujah, y'all. I'm talking about Jesus. And there were still 12 bags, baskets left. And he taught how to love. He told them, you know, you knew what they said in the Old Testament. He said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He said, but I come to tell you right now, that's not love. He said, if somebody steals something, give them your coat too. He said, because that's love. And Jesus taught a more excellent way. Because you see, in the Old Testament, they had 613 laws. And mankind couldn't do them. Jesus was asked out of the Ten Commandments what was the greatest law. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and condensed it to two. He said, if you would love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and you learn to love your neighbor as yourself, you would have accomplished all the laws that was ever written, and you would be able to fulfill the prophecy. And Jesus taught, and his popularity grew, y'all. And jealousy is a horrible thing. And you see, they got together, and I ain't talking about the unsaved people. But I'm talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all of these Christian people. And they weren't quite Christian yet because Jesus hadn't died, but they loved the Lord. Hallelujah. And they got together to conspire against him. They decided that he needed to be taken out. So they tried and they did everything that they could do. And oh, they decided to hold court on an innocent man like we have going on in our lives in the United States and the countries around the world. prosecuting innocent people. You see, Jesus knew no sin, and he hadn't sinned, but they found a way. But you see, you know, and Satan got in Judas, and Judas betrayed him. But you see, what Satan was setting up for the bad, God turned it around for the good. You see, Satan figured if he could just get Jesus dead, then he could win the people of God over to him. You see, Satan, you know, want popularity too. So they decided to hold court. They found him not guilty. They beat him all night long. They say when Jesus had received all of the beatings that they put him, they say you couldn't even recognize his body as a human. You couldn't recognize his face. And then they took and they put some thorns on his head. And they made him carry the cross, y'all. They was making him have death of a criminal. Crucifixion was the death of criminals. And they took him and he carried the cross all the way. And when he got on Calvary, they took and they nailed his hands on the cross. And they took his feet and they nailed them on the cross. And he stood on a cross between two thieves. And when they got through, they took him off, and his body was buried in a borrowed tomb. And as we said early in the song, they didn't take his life. Jesus was doing the will of his Father. Jesus had tunnel vision to the plan of his Father. Jesus was ready to pay the price for his Father. Jesus knew the suffering he would suffer. And you got to remember, he was half man and half God. But Jesus said, I'm going all the way, even until death. And they put him in that borrowed tomb. Oh, but early on Sunday morning, Jesus rose with all power in his hand. Now, I respect the cross. I understand the suffering. But you see, Jesus died to take away the sins. But Jesus had to resurrect that we may live eternal life. And we know that they had counted Jesus out. But we know that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. And that's love. Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. I can stand up and say I'm not guilty. There's no condemnation because of what Jesus did. He took on the sin, even though he was sinless. He took on the crime, even though he committed none. He did all of that, you guys, for you and for me. And as we go into this season, let's remember what Jesus did for us. And I come to tell you tonight, you're not doing good to be saved. Because if you accepted Christ, you're already saved. You're doing good because when you think of Jesus' death, burial, suffering, agony, separation, humility, that he had to go through. His friends left him. His disciples that he had been with for 3 years. He's the shame walking through the town with a cross on your back, the debt of a criminal, that you know you didn't commit no sin. Jesus said, I'm going all the way. Jesus said, I'm going all the way. For you and for I, for me, and for all those who accept him as their Savior. So I come to tell you tonight, as I started off with, Jesus had to die, become that living sacrifice, so that all of us could have a chance to the tree of life, and all of us could live eternally with the Father, the Son, and us. And that's the lesson for tonight. If anyone has anything to say or add or want to just praise God for what he has done, doing, and promised to do in our lives, you can press the one button. Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. If anyone would like to say anything, you can. God has given this forum for the body of Christ to come together, explore the word of God, and expound on it. Call your number is 355-62. Your mic is open.
Well, good afternoon, Ms. Diane. How you doing? This is Kathy Farford and my daddy, Willie Farford, listening to you tonight. And I just wanted to say thank you for still doing gracious things with the Lord. And I'm glad to hear your voice and your sound good.
Thank you, my baby. Thank you so much. Hey, Mr. Willie Foxworth.
Hey, baby. How you doing, sweetie? Good. I'm doing good.
I'm doing very good. Y'all know I love y'all.
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah, we know we love you, but right now I wanted to ask for a prayer request for Veronica's daughter. Her name is Chantel Rowe, and she's very, very ill with the COVID virus and other things going on with her. So she shared that with us today, so I told her that I was going to get on your prayer line and make sure to put out a prayer request for her.
Right. And what's her name again?
Chantel Rowe.
G-R-O-W?
Mm-mm. Sean is spelled S-H.
No. Her last name.
Bro, B-R-E-A-U-X.
Oh, okay, bro. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have time tonight, you know we have the prayer line all day, every day, 7 days a week. And I'll give her name to the Warriors with them as well.
Okay, I also wanted to tell you happy birthday. I know it's coming up in April. I don't really know the day, but I know tomorrow is the first. I wanted to make to get that shout out to you too.
Thank you. I receive.
You're welcome. All right.
Love y'all.
You have a blessed Palm Sunday, Good Friday. Hear from
you. All righty, darling. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else would like to say anything? Anyone would like to give a shout out to Jesus Christ? That's it for tonight. Glory, hallelujah. What we'll do is have our benediction. Minister Paula Cloud, can you give us a benediction on tonight? Well, the phone didn't go through. But we have a benediction, and it's so appropriate for tonight. But the word of God says that we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now and forevermore. And with that being said, I want to tell each and every one of you, go in peace and rest what God has done, is doing, and promised to do in our lives. Until next week, if it's God's will, we'll be back again. Same time, same station. And that's it for tonight. Go in peace. And may God bless you real good. Good night.